A62. Number 21B.
All right. This would be the later development of mesmerism, as I've shown it on page 25 to 36. Then comes a further development from mesmerism to Christian Science through the period of Quimby. I don't want to go into the question of Quimby. I think as a Christian Scientist one is rather fed up by now with that question of Quimby, and it has been dealt with extensively by other people, especially by Robert Peel in his book on Mrs. Eddy, and he has been, I would say, very frank about the relationship of Mrs. Eddy with Quimby, that Mrs. Eddy was influenced very much by Quimby's thought, and that the text of the textbook, especially in the first edition, had many, many renderings and phraseology and terminology from the Quimby period. And as Mrs. Eddy says, it took her quite a while to be completely free from Quimby's thought. Quimby, too, like Mesmer, was a good man, as we know. He too had terrific success, not knowing what was actually at work. This is the terrific thing, you see. It's like those people, do you know those people who deal with electricity? Huh? Well, everybody uses electricity. It has become a common phenomenon, electricity. And we can manage the phenomena of electricity. We can control it, we can put it into laws, we can use it, but nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows what electricity is. We only know how it works, and we know how to control it. But we do not know what it is. And in the same way, the psychological power, we know more or less now how to control it, how to channelize it, but we do not know what it is. And therefore, it was a great question for Mrs. Eddy to solve this enigma. And to solve that enigma of psychological power, which can be used positively and negatively. And because it can be used both ways, this power became of greatest interest to Mrs. Eddy, because what she discovered, not as psychology, but as spiritual power, as spiritual science, could only be applied positively and could only have positive effects. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy was suddenly confronted with two powers that were both invisible, that both claimed that they could heal, whereas in addition to that, psychological power also claimed that it could do evil. And therefore we can see that this big question must have been a terrific challenge for Mrs. Eddy, because she built on a power of the omnipotence of God good, and could witness at the same time an invisible power that could do evil. And one can see the terrific challenge. Therefore, for her, the question of good and evil became super important. It became such a big question that at a certain point in her development, it seemed that perhaps Christian Science could fall to the ground if it could not really investigate and discover what was animal magnetism. And only when she really could see through the whole phenomena of animal magnetism, the movement somehow got the firmer basis and could be steadied, and from that point on could grow. This is so with the individual. the individual too is faced with that challenge. We too say that God is good and is all power and is only the good power, and we try to find out how it is workable. At the same time, we experience a so-called other power, the power of evil, that seems to intervene day in and day out and seem to hinder the power of good. So, if we look back into the history of Mrs. Eddy and feel that she was a bit hooked up with animal magnetism, we can now see quite rightly that she had to be interested very deeply into this phenomena. And so it seems as if for the first time in human history, Mrs. Eddy was the one who was then investigating not only God and defining God, but investigating evil and defining evil and finding the origin of evil in order to handle the effect of evil. This is the subject of animal magnetism. Yes, is that clear? See, therefore we can see the beginning of that question in Mrs. Eddy's life so clearly that when that one power, the power of good, flooded her consciousness and she could see that that power of good was only doing good and was healing, that she felt, I don't want to hear anything about evil, about the power of evil. I don't want to know what it is, where it comes from, how it operates. For her, the great point was that there is God, good, omnipotence, and that was quite enough. And then she made that terrific statement that at the beginning she would say, when the suggestion of evil and the power of evil would come nigh to her, that she would say, come not nigh unto me, stay out, I don't want to know anything about it, closing their eyes on the question of evil, and doing the same thing as those three little apes are doing, shutting the eyes, shutting the ears, shutting the mouth, until she could see that this is not science, that science must really see through the workings of evil. See through what it claims to be as an origin, what it claims to be as an operative power, what it claims to bring forth as effect, good effect, evil effect. And therefore, she was forced, as she says, by the dictate of God, to take up this task and analyze the question of evil. That's where I set in with the second chapter of my book, the evolution of the chapter of animal magnetism through the main edition of the textbook. Here again, I spent how many pages? Nearly 30 further pages, another fifth of the book, just on the history of how Mrs. Eddy, step by step, analyzed the question of animal magnetism. You could say too, well, why read all this stuff? It's anyway past, it's anyway a development that has now been set right through the last edition of the textbook. The last edition of the textbook is the one that we should study and that we should know. So why bother about all the others? This is all right for Max. He likes to study. He comes from a university. He's hooked up on history and historical development and things like that. So I want to show you what happened, why I was forced, without wanting to do it, to investigate this development. So I tell you my history. We come to another history. Well, you know, in the 50s, I was giving in London very explicit talks on the textbook. I spent about 26 hours, say, on the chapter on prayer, and actually over 100 hours just on the first four chapters. I went to London every second month for a whole weekend and presented the structure of the chapters of the textbook at that time. And I came up to the chapter on animal magnetism, and I had to prepare for that talk. The chapter on animal magnetism is a very short one in the last edition, just about 7 pages. And when I studied it closer and closer, I naturally could see the layout of it that I could see even long before, just the structure of it, as I've given it then here in chapter 3, the analysis of that chapter. But I was not quite happy with what I found in that chapter. When I went over that chapter and was asking me now, what does she really say about animal magnetism? I found what it seemed at that point so little. Why? Because having been in the Christian Science movement for a long time already at that time, and having heard all what's going on in the teaching of Christian Science about animal magnetism, having read other articles, published and unpublished articles by Mrs. Eddy about malicious animal magnetism and things like that, so that finally, really, you got the creeps, you know, when you were thinking about malicious animal magnetism, and all those very exciting stories of how animal magnetism, malicious animal magnetism, benevolent animal magnetism, intentional animal magnetism, unintentional animal magnetism was working. You know, when you had all that in your consciousness and then read that clean, straightforward, short description of animal magnetism in the chapter on animal magnetism, one didn't find anything in it of all that sort. One felt one was deprived of so much information if one would only take the chapter on animal magnetism. That was the feeling I had at that point, where I felt, this is so simple, this is so clean, pure, straightforward. There is nothing really to be said about it. What can be said about it is there, and it's said in an hour or two. But I had a whole weekend before me of 8 hours. But not only that, I myself was thinking, hi, what is it that Mrs. Eddy doesn't deal with all that stuff which we were interested in for 20 years in the movement? Where is all that stuff? What is it all? You see? Ways that are vain, you know, all those articles, you sit at the fire, you see, and you don't know if your next friend next to you is just your enemy and just waiting to kick you and just to pull you down and so on. You know, that feeling that finally the Christian Scientist got, that they saw in everybody a malpractitioner and in everybody an enemy and a secret enemy, and you couldn't trust anymore anybody, you see. And that whole atmosphere that was built up through those articles, all that was not there. And so at that point I thought, but where do I find it? Where is all that stuff? You know, which I accumulated in papers, which, you know, that time one was trying to find all kinds of unpublished papers and articles by Mrs. Eddy and so on, and then secretly was typing it and making a copy unfortunate at that time when didn't have a Xerox machine where you had for 3 cents a copy, you had to go through the whole trouble of sitting at your typewriter and for hours rattle it off on the typewriter. There was quite a lot of work involved. I was thinking, where is that stuff? Where is it? And also, where do I get the answers to all these many questions that have been discussed at that time? And so, somehow, that has led me, as things usually do when you are questioning, somehow the penny drops sometimes, and I was led to the earlier edition of Science and Health. I was feeling, but how did that subject evolve with Mrs. Eddy? Why did she write those articles, ways that are vain? Why did she write about those journal articles which she didn't publish anymore in the prose work about malicious animal magnetism and things like that? Why did she write them then, and why not take them in the textbook? And she said, all is in the textbook what you have to know. So that led me to the question to investigate the development of the subject in her life. Well, it brought out a very interesting story, one of the most exciting and thrilling stories I know in the subject of Christian Science. But you could have said, well, that's an interesting, thrilling story, but that's that, and we are now on the last edition of the textbook, so why not rather forget all about it and take the end product? The point is that I began to realize that actually every student somehow has the same questions on animal magnetism, on evil. Where does evil come from? What is the power of evil? How does evil work? These are questions that everybody asks, that every student who is sincere about it must ask. And I began to realize that actually every student somehow goes through the same inner development in sorting out that question of evil the same way as Mrs. Eddy went. So I felt this is actually a divine order, that Mrs. Eddy development is not just an investigation, but is a general divine order for each student to find out clearer and in a more understanding way the nature of evil. And that's the reason why I gave here the 7 main editions, pointing out really the development. Now, as we are in the syllabus class on the 7 synonymous term and in the tonality of the 7 synonymous terms, I take now these 7 main editions not only to show what Mrs. Eddy wrote in those 7 main editions, but to show that if one has within oneself the tonality of the 7 synonymous terms, that when one reads these older editions on this subject, that one can perceive the ordered development that took place in Mrs. Eddy's consciousness, meaning that that specific subject of animal magnetism, that's a specific idea or counterfeit of an idea, that that specific counterfeit could also only be thoroughly and completely explained if it is shown in its reflection through the 7th. Yes? Just as we have done exercises on intelligence as a positive concept, as an idea, and have seen intelligence is also the intelligence of spirit and the intelligence of soul and of principle, life, truth and love. So in the same way one could take any counterfeit of ideas and explain the nothingness of a counterfeit by investigating again through the 7th. We didn't do that this week, but those who have been in the class, I think 1975, perhaps you remember, we made such an exercise with penalty. We took the claim of penalty, which is a counterfeit of love, and clarified that concept by viewing it from the seventh synonymous term until we saw that there is no penalty. Here we have now a great example of animal magnetism, and so we are going to see that only when we consider animal magnetism not just as a counterfeit of mind, and say, oh yes, animal magnetism, you know animal magnetism, counterfeit of mind. It's even in the compendium, you know, you can even read it there that it's a counterfeit of mind, so it is. Well, what did we gain? Nothing. Just stating something. We have to see through that whole claim, and when one is now investigating what Mrs. Eddy did write about the subject of animal magnetism in the main revisions, one can see that she went through that development. And one can see, this is a nice part to see, that unless, I have always difficulty in the English syntax when I start with unless, so you watch me, that unless one begins to see a subject in all the seven, say a subject like evil, animal magnetism, unless one sees it all through the seven, one doesn't really handle it. One is still somehow exposed to that one counterfeit belief. Meaning that when Mrs. Eddy, in the first edition of Science and Health, was handling animal magnetism, and was handling it from the point of view of mind, that was no safety for her. That we can see now in her life that this didn't do the trick. That, quite on the contrary, just seeing it from the point of view of mind and not spirit, she experienced how animal magnetism could be misstated as metaphysics instead of mesmerism in the second development. That there is no safety against the belief until we have viewed it in the light of all the seven. And that is what we are going to see. Because actually only when she has done all the revision and has arrived at that point where she left it in the last edition of 1910, that really she gave a complete statement which is safe. But in order to really value what she has taught in the last edition, really to evaluate it and see what it really means, so that it is not just statement, but that one can see, so to say, the altitude of consciousness with which she was writing that last edition, that we can only really perceive when we know the whole development that goes through it. And we will see it is our development. Just like the story of David. We should not say, well, that's the story of David. Well, he did it. He made it. He really made it. He really became king. He was a wonderful man. He did it. No, we begin now to see that this is only an exemplary illustration for an underlying law. An underlying law, which is a law to us too, and therefore applies to us if we apply the law in the same way as to David. Therefore, the development of Mrs. Eddy's insight into the question of evil is the development of each student as I see today. And that is what we like to contemplate together, how these questions come up, how we have to deal with them, how we are not safe if we do not go to the next step, how every step leads to the further step, and that only by clarifying our consciousness step by step, we can take off all those beliefs that are trying to hinder the purity of our understanding. It is something like this, as if we would have an artichoke and we want to eat it. In order to get at the real thing, we have to take off one leaf after the other, you know, until we get really to the core of it in its purity, where there are no more lots of leaves round about it, but just the thing itself. That's about what happens when we go through these various editions. We feel that we, by clearing up step by step another suggestion, another belief about evil, that only then we arrive at the definition of animal magnetism as given in the last edition. Yes, so next hour we'll start with going through chapter 2, the evolution of the chapter on animal magnetism. We make a break here.